It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there and go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. I am thrilled to have in studio with me Brad Beck, my good friend. He is an author, a speaker, and a co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters. It's great to have you here, Brad.
Well, good morning, Kim, and it's great to be here. And good morning, Denver.
It's a Monday morning. This is Steve, you're here. Producer Steve, it's Monday. We're off to another week.
Must you do this?
Monday's not Steve's favorite day, but he gets in here really early.
He does.
His Monday starts before almost all the rest of us, and I'm really grateful for this team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, the people here at Crawford Broadcasting, and I'm grateful for each and every one of you listeners as well. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, and it's a great day to be alive. There's a lot to be grateful for, Brad Beck.
One of my favorite musicians, Charlie Daniels, used to say, isn't it great to be alive and be in Tennessee? I would say, isn't it great to be alive and be in Colorado?
It is.
There's a setup.
Actually, I have a good friend of mine that is in Freedom, Florida. I'm going to call it Freedom, Florida. And she's having a great time. And I feel like I'm kind of peering out at freedom. And it's, so we've got a lot of work to do here, Brad Beck.
We do.
A lot of work.
But we got to keep our heads down and do it.
We do. Because ultimately, people do like freedom. They do like liberty. And this has been a big aha for me, Brad. I know I'm headed off over here. But I've been talking with people about this. And we talk about freedom versus force on the show all the time. Force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. Socialism and communism are very closely connected. And it all comes down to property rights. The American idea that everyday individuals could keep most of the fruits of their labor, their property, whether or not it's intellectual property or tangible property, was unique in this whole history of mankind. And what it did is it unleashed this prosperity and thriving for everyday people. Socialism ultimately, bureaucrats, and interested parties control property, if you will, via rules and regulations and excessive taxation. But ultimately, they use these things to take people's property. Communism, the state just owns everything. But Brad, socialism is not about free stuff. People think it is. That's the carrot. Ultimately, it comes down to they have to have workers. They just keep all the fruits of their labor. And what happens then ultimately with socialism is the people that aren't not producing, the people at the fringes, they become expendable. I know that sounds draconian, but that's what happens, Brad.
Oh yeah. Well, if you ever remember the old Disney little animation about the grasshopper and the ants. And the grasshopper is enjoying the summer day, and he's playing his fiddle and spitting his tobacco and saying, oh, the world owes me a living. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And here these ants are working, but he's just enjoying the life and enjoying the day. And all of a sudden, fall comes and then winter. And this poor grasshopper, who hasn't been preparing, ends up being cold and hungry. And the ants take pity on him and bring him in, but he learns the lesson that it takes work, and from that work, you have something to show for it. Mm-hmm. And that something is the fruits of your labor, and you deserve to own those and do with those what you feel is best in your interest, not some third party.
Yes, and that is why we're doing the show. That's why you do Liberty Toastmasters, is to help people find their voices, to kick around these ideas so that we understand them. Socialism is about free stuff. It's ultimately about PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties owning the fruits of your labor through rules, regulations, and taxation.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now that we got that out there, next thing in the second segment, our friend Helen Raleigh will be calling in. Her new book is coming out tomorrow, Backlash, How China's Aggression Has Backfired. She is a terrific author.
If you've ever had the opportunity to hear Helen speak, it is unbelievable. Her personal story, but also I'm looking forward to reading this book because it has so much relevance today.
It really does. And so we'll have her on the second segment. Third and fourth segment, you and I are going to talk about this op-ed that will be coming out in my newsletter at the end of the week. And this is, it's about listening. And we all like to talk, but listening is really a good thing. In fact, you quoted Clarence Thomas in here, and listening is something that we all need to hone our skills on.
As my wife says, I have two ears and one mouth. Use the ears more often.
So with that, because you had quoted Clarence Thomas in your op-ed, I thought that we would quote him as our inspiration today. And our quote as well. And Clarence Thomas is the second Black American justice to serve on the Supreme Court of the United States. He was born in Georgia. He eventually went to attend Yale Law School. He later served in various posts under the administrations of Presidents Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush. The retirement of Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall led Bush to nominate Thomas as the judge's replacement, and he was narrowly confirmed in 1991. You're gonna appreciate this. He said, when I was a kid, we said that we were precluded from going to certain neighborhoods because of the color of our skin. Now the neighborhoods are the neighborhoods of ideas. You're not supposed to be there because of the color of your skin. Isn't that amazing?
It is. It is. What goes around comes around, doesn't it? History repeats itself, and we've got to learn from it.
Yes. And you mentioned, you encouraged me to watch the documentary on Clarence Thomas. It was powerful.
It is. And his life story is just something of what America's about, coming from nothing and working really hard to become something and earning it. That's the beautiful thing about America, earning it.
That is the beautiful thing about America. Let's go through some of these headlines. I think, first of all, producer Steve, you and I had a call. We always talk to each other on my way in. And you said that things regarding the election really jump out at you. And there were several things here that Patty had pulled that that gave you hope. First of all, this was from redstate.com. Hillary Clinton supporter Alan Dershowitz says Trump will win the Pennsylvania lawsuit. And the reason the state's court put into practice election law that hadn't been approved by its legislature. And Alan was forthright. He predicts triumph. I do think that Trump will win the Pennsylvania lawsuit, namely the lawsuit that challenges ballots that were filed before the end of Election Day but not received until after Election Day. The cause of the curveball was the coronavirus. I know that that gives you a lot of hope, and you're from Pennsylvania, Steve.
Yeah, I was just talking to some of the folks there last night. Matter of fact, one individual went down to Washington to be a part of that march in terms of the pro-Trump march, and she said it was just exhilarating to be there during the day. And then, you know, about 4 o'clock, they departed to go north back to PA. And then all the fun began once the darkness descended in more ways than one. Once the darkness descended on D.C.
The darkness descended.
Yes, it did.
I find it so interesting that, first of all, you have this big protest, or not protest, it would be a march to show support for Trump, and everything gets by just peaceably. And then, as Steve mentioned, you get to the afternoon, late there into the evening, and then that's where the trouble starts.
Yeah, I think if you look at American cities, especially places like Portland and even in our capital, there are young people who didn't have fathers or have a father figure. And they've been searching for community. And I think that's one of the things that is lacking. And quite frankly, that's why we have these various groups going out and creating havoc, because they have these communities and they're like families, but they're not. They're empty families. And I think people are searching for that father figure, especially if you go to some of these inner cities and see what's been going on night after night after night. They don't have fathers, or they don't have a father figure or a leader that is in a positive vein. They've got a lot of negative things that are going on, destruction, and they don't want to have the community, the family, the people that are faith-based, but they want to have something. And so this void of people getting together and destroying things, I think it's a huge problem that we have to address in our communities.
Brad Beck, I think this goes back to Lyndon Johnson and the Great Society. And basically what happened there is government came to women, and really women across the spectrum, but came to women basically and said, we will take care of you and your children as long as there is not a man in the house.
Yeah.
And what that not only did to women and children, but also to men, because it basically pushed them out. And even now, you will see that couples will not get married, because if they get married, they get less from the government. And that is something that we need to change. I was talking to Reggie Carr with the IMA group. I'm a Trumpster, and he's changing this just a little bit to IMA, and then we feel that people can fill in the blank. I'm an American. I'm a Trumpster. I'm somebody that cares about people. But he said that what people really want is economic freedom, which it goes back to these property rights, Brad.
Yeah, if you don't have the ability to take care of yourself, that one segment of citizenship, self-reliance, if you don't have that, if you can't take care of yourself, you lose dignity, you lose respect. People don't want a handout. They may want to help, but they don't necessarily want something from somebody, because then there's an obligation, I think, in a lot of people's mm-hmm. mind. Most people have a center or balance. And so they want that dignity. They want work. They want to go out and do something and produce. And after all, it's the producers that make things happen. It's not the moochers.
Yeah. Well said. And we saw that as we look at the election results with Donald Trump. Apparently, black working males, their support for Trump increased significantly. Latinos, their support for Trump increased significantly. And we're on to something here. We really are. And Lauren Boebert, who is going to Congress, lives out in Rifle.
Yeah.
She tells the story that she stood in line. She had, I think, four other siblings for government cheese. And it's not great cheese. It's the handouts aren't great, but they needed help, yes. But she said when she got her first job at McDonald's and she got her first paycheck, it was like, aha,
yeah,
I have earned this, as going back to what you said regarding earning it.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember when one of my daughters, the youngest, was gainfully employed after college, and she called me up all mad and said, Daddy, what's this FICA? I said, welcome to being a grown-up, daughter.
Yes, that is your payroll taxes. Yeah. You know what? I think people would pay more attention instead of if they just automatically took that out of your paycheck, if you had to write a check. I think it changed things significantly
here
in America. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, I want to give a shout out to some entrepreneurs, some great partners of mine, and that is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And they have football specials, which is great, to-go specials, a party pack. And as we're coming into the holidays, not everybody's going to want to cook, and so to-go special would be great. They have lunch specials, kids eat free, Wednesdays are Wings Day. More information, go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. We'll be right back with Helen Raleigh.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast, our most recent op-eds, and go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. Brad Beck, who is an author, speaker, co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters, is in studio with me. It's great to have you here.
Good morning, Kim.
And one of our great friends is on the line, Helen Raleigh. Amazing story. She is an author and speaker as well. She's an entrepreneur. She immigrated from China. She's a U.S. citizen. And her most recent book will be released tomorrow. It is Backlash, How China's Aggression Has Backfired. And I started the book. I've not gotten it finished, but it is very important. She said that, do we really need another book about China? Helen Raleigh, welcome to the show. We do, don't we?
Yes, we do. And good morning, Kim and Brad. How are you guys doing?
We are well.
Unbelievable. Good to hear your voice.
Same here.
Tell us about the book. Why did you feel compelled that you needed to write this, Helen Raleigh?
Well, thanks, Kim. That's a really good question. So in the book introduction, I mentioned a couple of reasons. One obviously, is that there are many noise about China. And for the last several decades, our foreign policy has been based on wrong assumptions that our elites told us that if we just fully engage China economically, somehow China will change politically. As long as we stay quiet about the human rights violation, about democracy, then the Chinese Communist government will automatically change their behaviors. We learned that tough lesson in the last several decades that that's not the case. So we need to reset our foreign policy. And so that's one reason I wanted to write this book. And the second reason is on another front, as you guys know that I'm passionate about fighting back socialism. I don't want to see my new adopted home, America, embrace socialism. And it worries me that socialism has increasingly become so popular in the United States. It's like a zombie that never dies. And the romantic side of socialism, obviously lack of education about what's going on in socialism. So for that reason, I think it's important to learn what's behind the skyscrapers, what's behind the facade in China, and learn the truth, the evil of socialism. So mainly for those two reasons, I think it's important that have another book about China.
I noticed, I saw a headline this morning that said that Trump is trying to box in China policy or box Biden in on China policy, that Trump intends to continue more of his hardline stance with China. And conversations with you and then also Josh Phillip with the Epoch Times, who is a China expert, has said that Trump has been effective with this policy. Explain that to our listeners, Helen.
Right. So Trump really made a 180-degree change of the foreign policy towards China. As I mentioned earlier, before Trump, all our foreign policies on China towards Nixon, all based on full engagement. You know, we'll occasionally complain about the human rights record. We'll occasionally maybe talk a little bit about the political reform, but mostly we're going to stay away from that. Even after the 1989 Tiananmen Square, George W. Bush Sr. did not punish China. He was going to do some sanction, but he quickly withdrew it. So that's the free engagement policy. As we know, that policy was a failure because you have to know the true nature of the Communist Party. The true nature of the Communist Party is they never surrender. They will attack when they can attack, but if they run into a wall, they will stop. So basically what Trump did, in a foreign policy sense, he actually built a wall, basically tell communist China to say, stop. You cannot continue to take our, steal our technology. You cannot continue to have imbalanced trade. You cannot treat your people poorly, because we learned from the coronavirus pandemic that when you are lying and remain silent about the virus to your own people, you let the virus spread to the rest of us. So how you treat your own people will have consequences to the rest of us. So the Trump administration is really the first U.S. administration, and really the only administration in the world that signed the Human Rights Act for Hong Kong, Human Rights Act for Uyghur Muslims, and imposed trade tariffs against China, engage in tough trade negotiations, as well as send the military, send our navies to the South China Sea. And the Trump administration has been doing a lot to confront China, to basically stop China's aggression worldwide and put the China on alert for its aggression against its own people. I don't think Joe Biden is going to go to that extent, because Joe Biden has a long record that we can follow. But Joe Biden belongs to the old school of foreign policy, that he's already talking about he's going to override all Trump's foreign policies as soon as he assumed power in January. So we have to see how much he intended to keep of Trump's China policy.
I find it so interesting, Helen, that Biden, we are now seeing a whole bunch more about what his policies are. In fact, I was talking to someone this weekend, and they said they were talking to a friend of theirs who voted for Biden and said, wait a minute, I didn't realize that that's what he was going to do regarding a nationwide shutdown. And if I knew that, I would not have voted for him. Now, we're hoping that people become more and more informed. But we're seeing also with China policy, I saw this weekend there was a headline that Charles Koch has congratulated Biden regarding the election, although we all know the bunch of things happening there. But he said one of the reasons because he wants to roll back President Trump's tariffs. And I know that you're a free market person, capitalist, Brad, you are as well, and I am as well. But what I realized was that, yes, we want free trade, but we also want fair trade, Helen, and that is what Trump is trying to get to.
Right. And what the people do not realize this is, I mean, it took me a while, as you mentioned, I'm a free trade lover. It took me a while to realize that after 4 decades, the United States and the rest of the world has very little tools in their toolbox to confront China. As we know, China has been taking advantage of the international rule-based trading system to benefit them, at the same time harmed other countries. So the full engagement policy that we used to engage basically left us very little tools in our toolbox to confront China. So unfortunately, because China is still much more export-dependent economy, and they realize that too, they are trying to change, China tries to change their economic models to be more internal consumption-driven, just like us, rather than export-driven. But still, it's a big country, it's a slow transition. As they do this transition, they're still much more export-dependent than we are. Therefore, trade is one of the very few tools, unfortunately, we have in our toolbox. And that's how I get my mind wrapped around it, to say, we didn't really have a whole lot of choice. And if you look at the trade agreement that Trump reached, it's actually very pro-free market. He basically forced China to agree that China is going to further open its market, especially financial market, to Western firms. As you know, we are very service-driven country. Our economy is very service-driven. Have China further reform its financial industry and open it up to United States, to United States firms. It's a huge move towards the free market. And also Trump's trade agreement lowered the tariff. So we should, we should not give the noise, that noise of, how he approaching it, distract us from the results. And that's what I think the biggest takeaway from the Trump administration's last 4 years. The media is so focused on his most recent tweets, the noises he made, they do not look at their policies. If you look at his policies, just focus on the policies. He has many good policies, whether on trade policies, foreign policies. He has some really good policies out there.
Well, Helen Raleigh, your book comes out tomorrow, Backlash, How China's Aggression Has Backfired, and you've got some special event going on.
Yes, so tomorrow I will do a Facebook virtual launch at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. East Coast Time. It's going to be on Facebook. And I've been tweeting about it, so everybody can just go to, it's open to the public. So everybody can go to the Facebook and go to my page, HelenRaleighSpeaks.com, and sign up and send me questions. And tomorrow I will answer all your questions, and also I will randomly select the two participants, and those two participants each will receive a signed copy of the new book.
Nice. Brad Beck, I bet you're going to want to be on that, huh?
Yeah, I always look forward to listening to Helen, and I'm really interested in your perspective on what's happening with the in Hong Kong as well.
So there'll be some good questions there. Again, that Facebook page is Helen Raleigh Speaks, correct?
Helen Raleigh Speaks, yeah.
Okay. Helen, thank you so much. I am so excited to finish the book. I got one of the not-for-resale books here, and good luck on that. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You
guys have a wonderful day, too.
Okay. Bye. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, Kim.
Is the market having a happy Monday? I think I saw something come across the wire this morning about more on the vaccines. Is that doing anything to the futures today?
It certainly is. We have a second company, Moderna. I think that was one of the ones that had to stop their trial suddenly until after the election, and now miraculously everything's wonderful again. But they're saying that their vaccine appears to be about 94.5% effective. The futures like that right now, Kim, up about 490 points. So, you know, if the Dow opens where the futures are indicating, that would be at a new high or very, very close to it. The other indexes are the same. They're you know, barely off of their all-time highs at this point. So some real good positive movement in the market. One thing I was reading in Investors Daily this morning that kind of blew my mind, where they were talking about the positive test rates for COVID in different states. And they said in Iowa, the positive test rate is 51.3%. So for every two people they test, one of them has it, they're saying.
Interesting. And it's also a couple of things. This was from USA Today, that Elon Musk and Erica Badu both test positive and negative for COVID-19. Apparently Elon Musk, in one day, I think it was the same place, the same nurse, for some reason did four tests, and two tests came back negative and two came back positive.
Maybe he went and got his test in Iowa. That's why their rate is 50%, because they test one person, they get both a negative and a positive off of everybody.
Maybe that is what it is. One other thing that I thought, you probably saw this, but this was from Zero Hedge. It said that Fauci showed the breakthrough Pfizer COVID vaccine results to Biden before Trump. I find that absolutely, actually, I don't find it astounding. It's very believable. What's your thoughts on that, Jason?
I don't know, Kim. I didn't see the article, and, you know, I don't know if it's true or not, but if it was true, you know, it is kind of sad that I wouldn't find it shocking or surprising either.
Okay. I didn't either, and I didn't mean to throw you a curveball there.
No, that's all right.
Right here first thing on Monday morning.
I do it to you all the time.
This is true. So the futures are up significantly.
Correct.
Okay. And now, I can't believe that we are now at mid-November. But I would highly recommend that people sit down with you or one of your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management and do some strategy planning, a discovery session between now and the end of the year, because it may make sense to take some kind of a defensive position, at least with a portion of your money. I'd recommend that people reach out to you and talk about that.
I think that that's a smart move to think about. You know, I think a reasonable person, if you sit back and think, you know, the damage that's been done to the economy, about a third of the small businesses have suffered and maybe closed forever. How soon will those jobs come back? We don't know. I'm not trying to be a negative Nelly, Kim, but, you know, we've taken some punches in the mouth here in the economy that may not go away soon, and yet we've got a market at all-time highs. I guess part of that could be viewed as the big corporations are going to take all that business that used to go to small business, but I don't know. It seems like a lot of uncertainty with markets up at the high. You know, those two things combined together gives you an opportunity to maybe readjust your strategy to something a little bit safer and preserve some of these huge gains we've seen over the last few years.
Yes, and we always say, when opportunity knocks, answer the door. And
right.
You can do that by calling Jason McBride at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, have a happy Monday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Kim, have a good one.
You bet. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, my friend Brad Beck is in studio with me. He is an author, a speaker, co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters. He's written an op-ed. We'll roll that out this weekend. A Wise Old Owl. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. My friend, author, speaker, co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters, Brad Beck, is in studio with me. And we will be rolling out your op-ed this weekend in the newsletter. And you're calling it A Wise Old Owl. Tell us about that.
Well, a wise old owl sat on an oak. The more he heard, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Wasn't he a wise old bird? That was a little rhyme that the Wizard of Westwood, John Wooden, used to share with his student athletes when he was the coach of the UCLA Bruins. And I grew up in Southern California, and Wooden was, you know, one of the great coaches mm-hmm. of all time. And he knew if he could get his student athletes to listen, to put on their shoes, socks and shoes on the fundamentals, they would have less blisters, less foot problems. You know, things of this nature that they were never taught, probably in the very beginning of their high school or even earlier careers. And so he would go back to the fundamentals. But he knew if he got his student athletes to listen to him, but also to each other, they would have a championship team. And he proved it time and time and time again. And I think listening is so foundational to so much of what we need to do today. And in Toastmasters, I've got a lot of experience in Toastmasters. I've started 6 clubs. I've been a Toastmaster for over 10 years now. We're really a listening organization. People come for public speaking, mm-hmm. but they leave better listeners.
Mm-hmm. This weekend will be our Liberty Toastmasters Denver meeting, and I am to be one of the evaluators. And tell us a little bit about the evaluation process in Toastmasters.
Well, so one of the things we do is we introduce a speaker first with their evaluator, and the evaluator will share with the members what the goals are, because we have different levels of speaker in each club. And so you may have a new speaker speaking at the same meeting with a more experienced person. And so you want to get up and share with the meeting what those goals are. And then how close does that speaker come to those goals? Well, the evaluator takes all that in, and there's a couple different techniques, but I always share with folks that you want to do an evaluation from what you heard, what you thought, and what you felt about their presentation. And then focus on those things they did really, really well and do more of those. And talk about how they can maybe improve one or two items so the next time they get up, they can see an advance in what their speaking skills are all about. And evaluations really do that. That's that instant feedback that helps people improve.
You know that I served on city council for 4 years, from 2012 to 2016. And I had just started with Liberty Toastmasters sometime during that time. And the evaluation component, the sandwich method that they use is certainly something listening, something good, and then some suggestions, and then coming back to something good. I used that and because there would be, whether or not it would be a colleague or whether or not it might be somebody that is making public comment, I used that evaluation method to respond to them, and it made me more effective. It was a good discipline to have, and I think it made me more effective when I was responding.
Yeah, it's a perfect example, because you want to get on the same side of the table with the person that who is speaking. And what I mean by that is you want to look at the situation or the problem from a rational perspective and say, okay, here's what you said. Is that right? And they'll say, no, I meant this. Okay, you get clarification. You get buy-in. And that other person knows that you're listening to what they're saying. Then you can say, you know, I agree with this and this, but help me here because I don't understand what you're doing on this portion of whatever they're presenting at a town meeting or even in a speech. You know, maybe I was a little confused. I didn't hear it right. What was going on there? And you get clarification. And if we can get clarification, we can get better understanding. And that's what listening is about, is to understand the other person's perspective.
Question. Because in this environment that we are in right now, sometimes I don't feel that somebody may be being straight with me. In a conversation. Certainly there's the respect of listening, but there's also the respect of having an honest dialogue. What do you say about that, Brad Beck?
Well, I always say give them a lot of rope. They might hang themselves. They may clarify what their thinking is, and then you get a better understanding of where they're coming from. I'm not saying you have to agree with somebody just because you're listening, but you get a perspective of where they're coming from so you're able to address the actual information that they're providing. So I don't want to go off on tangents with somebody. I want to understand where their thought process is. How did they come to that? Who taught them that idea? And then get clarity for it. And then I can respond back or I can listen and then ask another question. And the idea of, well, why do you think that way? Why is that important to you? Why is that something that you're focusing on? That why question, you know, going back to being a little kid, why? Well, it's huge because then you get to understand where they're coming from. And you may say, well, have you ever thought of this? Or can you share with me something that backs that idea up? And oftentimes people don't. It's a feeling. It's an emotion. And it's a legitimate thing because that's part of who they are. But you've got to know where they're standing first so you can address it.
I'm thinking of Thanksgiving dinner. Of course, Governor Polis wants to basically cancel, I think, Thanksgiving. But people will be getting together, relatives, and it can get quite emotional. There's so much emotion going on out there right now in dialogue. What would you recommend to people at the Thanksgiving dinner table?
Well, listen, I mean, everybody's got a perspective, and you may have thought of a way of thinking. Now, there's always going to be those that are set in their ways, and I would say listen to them and find out where they... Who taught them the ideas that they're expressing, or why are they closed off? Tell me why you're not open to a dialogue. I'm not saying you have to agree with me, but listening to what they have to say and repeating it back and trying to get clarity on it, I think is important. You know, so many families get there and they come there and they're like, okay, I'm going to get Aunt so-and-so or uncle, you know, whoever, and I'm ready to fight, rather than coming in with the mind of an open openness, mm-hmm. and having some reasoned discussion, you may come away with some thoughts that you never thought about and then are able to address them by finding more information that will make you a better debater and a better person to have a discussion with, a discourse.
Okay. I think, if you're up for it,
sure,
I would like to do a little role play.
Okay.
And I think what we'll do is we'll go to break early so that when we come back, I think this could be interesting for people to hear. Before we do that, though, another one of my great partners is Castlegate Knife and Tool. Hal Van Herke, who is the owner, will be in the studio on Wednesday. We'll be talking about small business, because small business, the middle class, property rights, this is all inherently the American idea. But Castlegate Knife and Tool is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They're a family-owned business. They're getting all totally ready for Christmas. And it's a place to do your shopping. Go to castlegate.com for more information. That's castlegate.com. Brad Beck, my friend, author, speaker, and co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters, is in studio. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to do a little Thanksgiving dinner role play. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well. In studio with me is Brad Beck, a speaker, author, and co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters. Our club was going to meet in Denver this Saturday, and I'm going to be there, and we welcome guests.
Yeah, we have a virtual option as well if somebody wants to come and participate virtually, or, you know, we're in an undisclosed location and we meet together. So
you can get more information by going to liberty.toastmastersclubs.org, right? Yeah. Liberty.toastmastersclubs.org. Okay, Brad Beck, listening. And I'm going to give a scenario here. Sally is coming back from college, and let's pretend it's not the COVID college. Let's pretend it's the other college. And maybe I might think that she is a bit, she's taken on a different view than her father. Her father is a successful businessman. He's an entrepreneur, believes in property rights. And Sally comes back from college and she says, I think that socialism is the most fair way for us to live as a society. I've been talking to my professors, all of my other students, and we realize that, you know, it's not fair that one person has more stuff than other people.
Well, I would say, Sally, welcome home. Good to see you. What books are you reading?
I'm reading Thomas Friedman.
Thomas Friedman, mm-hmm. An economist, historian, mm-hmm. Interesting, popular guy. Mm-hmm. And what is he saying? What is he talking about that makes you think about when you come into this idea of socialism?
Well, it's really not fair, Dad, that some people have more stuff than other people, and some people are not as talented as others. And I just don't think that it's fair that this person has more than this other person. And Thomas Friedman talks about that we should have. Well, let's see. He's more of a Keynesian regarding that particular economic philosophy, Dad.
Sure, sure. No, I would see that. And it makes sense from his perspective. But you know, I'm just curious. You have, I've given you all kinds of things for school. I've given you the opportunity for tuition and your books and your housing. And I know you got a wonderful phone, a smartphone. You know, I understand your concern about what goes on. You know, why don't we take that phone and go down to the pawn shop. I bet we can get some money for it, and we'll give it to those that are less fortunate. What do you think about that?
My phone?
Yeah, your phone, because, you know, after all...
But I need my phone.
Well, sure you do, but, you know, you're more concerned about other people, so I think we should invest in other people, and one of the ways you can do that is by giving them what you have.
But it's my phone.
Well, actually, where did you get the phone from?
Well, you got it for me, Dad.
Right. And how did I get it? Did I steal it from somebody, or did I go to the store with you and purchase it?
Well, we went to the store together and purchased it.
Right. How did I pay for that? Did I do it with my good looks, or did I do it by convincing the store owner to give it to me, or did I use money to trade value for value?
Well, you paid for it with money, Dad.
Yeah, exactly. And how did I earn that money?
Well, you have your business. You go to work.
So I'm satisfying a customer's needs, and they value that service or product more than the dollars they have in their wallet. And so we trade, we exchange. We have a fair exchange because they see a value in something other, and they need that or they want that. And so they're giving me money for that. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And what books, Dad? What other books do you think I should be reading?
Well, there's a lot. Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt is a very easy book to read in one sitting. And it talks about things like this, of giving value for something and earning something and getting compensation for that. And so it's important to understand where money comes from. It's a standard of value. And we put a value into something that you can use for exchange rather than carrying around a lot of gold or metal or something else. We use paper today, fiat currency, and that buys you things that allows you to pursue your happiness. And you're going to college to pursue your happiness, to get a career, so you can take care of yourself, to be self-reliant.
But isn't wanting money, isn't that greedy, Dad? Isn't that being greedy?
Actually, you know, you think about all those nonprofits that you're enamored with and that you've worked with for many, many years. Mm-hmm. Nonprofit doesn't mean they don't make money. What they do is they work to get donations, and they provide that for other people that are less fortunate to give them a hand up, not a hand out. And so what happens is nonprofits really work to better the society that we're in, but they have to make a profit, and that comes from somewhere. That comes from other people's efforts and energies. Well, you know, I have a friend who always has said the root of all evil is the desire for the unearned.
Oh, okay.
So you have to earn it, just like when you were a little girl and used to rake the leaves on the front lawn, and I would give you some money, and saying, I traded your labor for that money, and you got to buy things with that money that you saved.
Okay. Okay. Anything else, Dad, that I should know?
Yeah, read better books. And don't listen all the time to your professor's question.
And thanks, Dad. I really appreciate that.
Sure.
Okay. Was that kind of fun?
Yeah, it was great.
Okay.
I love it.
You know, this, you made a really important, so we're no longer role-playing, okay? the root of all evil, as you said, many people say the root of all evil is the love of money. But actually, the root of all evil is the unearned, trying to get the unearned. And that's what socialism ultimately comes down to, is, and that's what they're selling, is to be able to get something without earning it.
Right. Well, you know, I always look at it. Milton Friedman had a great little chart at one point where I read about where he said, you know, when you're talking about government or talking about any entity that has the monopoly of force, who pays for something? Who benefits? Who decides, and what's fair? And it's seen through that prism, that little four square, you can pretty much answer anything on principle. If you're paying for it as a taxpayer and the beneficiary is some entity, whether it's government, by a road or a water treatment plant, okay, who gets to decide? Is it a bureaucrat or is it an elected official that over a time you can unelect? If it's a bureaucrat, you can never get rid of that individual.
Right.
Almost never. So, and you saw that being on council. Mm-hmm. And then what's fair? Who gets to decide what's fair? Well, I think the elected official rather than the bureaucrat, because you can have some type of feedback. It's almost like an evaluation, mm-hmm. getting back to that and tying
right.
it in. You get to evaluate whether or not they've lived up to what their role is. And so that's why I think listening is so important today, is that you have to understand what's said, but more importantly, just like in music, that silence, what's unsaid, and how people approach that. And listen for those things, because what's unsaid oftentimes is where the real direction of somebody is going.
Interesting. You mentioned nonprofits, Brad, and one thing that I have uncovered now is there's a lot of different nonprofits that are living off of government money, off of government grants. And it took me a while to figure that out. But when that happens, they no longer have to be so accountable to the donors, because that money is being taken via force from others and then being distributed by government. I really think we need to get government grants out of that, lower taxes, so that nonprofits compete in the free market, accountable to their donors. If they're not doing their mission, then the donors will go someplace else. That is something, and you mentioned nonprofit doesn't mean that they don't make money. They do.
Well,
they just don't pay taxes.
Right, right, exactly. I work with some nonprofits and some organizations and that I'm passionate about. But when they go and ask for money from a local town entity saying we're doing all this great work and the town has this, I call it slush fund for all these non-for-profits in the community, and they get to dole it out, boy, that makes me just angry, because that's not the role of government to dole out this money. You know, let's do what needs to be done in that community, but don't give it out because you have this pot of gold. You know, let the taxpayers, let the donors decide how that goes. And I think once you get the mindset that government doles it out, you lose self-reliance. And that's one of the keystones of our citizenship that we're not being taught anymore. At least our children aren't.
And that's why these conversations are really important. Brad, Liberty Toastmasters has been really helpful for me. As I was getting involved in these ideas, the kids would come home from school espousing things that didn't quite match up. And I actually went through an angry period. We had some very robust discussions, which I wish now, what I know now, I would have been able to use then. But we continue to work to improve. And Liberty Toastmasters has been super helpful for me.
Yeah, it teaches you to listen, but also to have respect for opposing views. And you write that down, you respond back, you give that person all the tools and the feedback that they need to be successful. And the key there is what I found is we go out to lunch usually afterwards, and that's when we beat each other up. But in our meetings, we're respectful, and we listen to each other, and we have reverence for somebody giving their heart and speaking their understanding of certain things. Doesn't mean you agree with them, but it makes you a better debater, and it makes you a better person to understand where people are coming from.
And debate is not a bad thing.
Oh, I love it.
In fact, America was founded. They debated these ideas. But I think ultimately they wanted to get to something they agreed on, and that was this reverence for life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Pursuit of happiness, I think, is also means that you get to keep most of the fruits of your labor, the property rights.
Well, and I think you have to define your terms. So many words have been morphed over the centuries. I mean, the pursuit of happiness doesn't mean something that's hedonistic. It means to pursue those things that is going to make you self-reliant and give you the ability to keep the fruits of your labor without somebody coming and taking it by the point of a gun. I mean, you have the opportunities to go out there and do what you need to do to make and provide for yourself and your family.
And you just said somebody coming and taking it from the point of a gun. But under socialism, ultimately, sometimes they do that. But you also see it, again, we talk about it via laws and rules and regulations and excessive and unpredictable taxation, which is actually a little more insidious in a way than taking it with a weapon, because then you can actually see who the enemy is that is trying to take your stuff. Now, we all agree that there is, I think, a portion of taxes that we need to pay, but excessive and unpredictable taxation is not good.
No, it's not at all. And I believe in a limited government. I believe in the rights of the individual. And I don't need to ask permission from my government. The government and those who run it should be coming to me. They're my servants. They're our servants. And so we elect them. to do the business that needs to be done, which on a federal level would be to protect our borders, to provide for the courts and the police. You know, this whole defund the police, or the knowledge that we have an electoral college and they want to get rid of it. It just shows me the ignorance that we've been teaching our children of not letting them know what's going on. Okay.
And so we have a responsibility now, Brad Beck, to have these conversations. It's been so great to have you in studio. Your op-ed will be rolling out in the newsletter this week, and Liberty Toastmasters Denver will be meeting this Saturday, and Liberty North meets the
second and fourth.
Second and fourth. And people can get more information at, it's libertytoastmastersclubs.org, right?
Right.
Okay. It's great having you here. What's your final thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Well, it's a beautiful day. Go out and be productive and read great books, as you always say, but also listen more intently and listen to really make a difference.
And because you quoted Clarence Thomas in your op-ed, he has this quote that I wanted to share with you. He said, "I would walk into the Carnegie Library and I would see the pictures of Booker T and pictures of Frederick Douglass, and I would read. I would go into the Savannah Public Libraries and the stacks and see all of the newspapers from all over the country. Did I dream that I would be on the Supreme Court? No. But I dreamt that there was a world out there that was worth pursuing." Is that not awesome?
That's awesome.
My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning, further from my home.